Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
MMA results of the weekend. Bellator, Venom Page versus Lima. UFC Fight Night as well, Chris, headlined by Thiago Santos. And he obviously won. But yeah, boxing first and foremost. It's the big topic of the week. And on Saturday evening, we finally get it, Chris. After COVID in the camp and it was rescheduled, we are back on. Do you want to roll to the VT with Wilder first, because I know we've given Fury a lot of time in terms of video interviews over the last month or so. So yeah. I think maybe head in with Wilder's thoughts, because a lot of it's, you know, centered around Fury. But Wilder's actually speaking now after being on mute at the conference.
But he had the headphones in though, didn't he? Right, yeah, I'll quick to the VT. Everyone enjoy.
No, exactly. They asked Tyson Fury about that fight as well, and he said that you're the most dangerous heavyweight out there. You beat both of them, and the only man you can't beat, obviously, he's going to say is him.
Well, you know, I've already knocked him out once before. I'm sure he replays that in his head over and over again. You know, that's why he's so brave to say that I'm the most dangerous man in the world and different things like that, because I am. It's true facts. You know, my famous quote is, guys have to be perfect for 12 rounds with me. I only have to be perfect for 2 seconds. And then it's bam, baby, good night. And when you have devastating power, God-given, you know, you're always gonna be the leader of the pack. You know, we've seen many guys. Some people say skills, but that's just a broken record, because we've seen many guys with skills and they still lost. But you know, when you have power, you're never out of a fight, ever. You know, you can.
Who's he actually fought though prior to Fury? Well, so it's all in good 2 seconds, 12 rounds, this, that, and the other. I'm still not with this whole thing.
I get his point though. You know, power is one of those things where when you've got power, you can finish a man, no matter how technical, how good they are at boxing, because it only takes one punch. You see it in the UFC, you see it in all sorts of different combat sports. Power does nullify quite a lot of things, because you only have to use it that one time, where, you know, if you're a skilled boxer like Fury and you don't have as much knockout power, you do have to put a bit more effort in. I get what he's saying there, but what I don't understand is like, you know, as you say, the level of competition he's fought. He's not ever fought anyone like Tyson Fury, and that's a statement. He's never has, right? And the two fights he's had with Tyson Fury, he's lost both of them. Yes, okay. He nearly knocked Tyson out in the first fight. But let's be honest, Tyson was in control of that fight. And he was complete control in the second fight. I'm a bit worried of his mindset, because I still think Tyson is like a widescreen TV inside his head at the moment.
He can't look anywhere other than seeing Tyson. You're cutting up now, by the way.
But, you know, Wilder has got that one punch knockout. You have seen it throughout his career. You have seen him, you know, decimate people with the right and the left, because he's equally as good power in both. I just can't see him doing what he thinks he can do to Tyson. And I just think Tyson does what he does, and he does it fantastically.
I think it's just all this about his physique as well. You know, he's put muscle on and all that. He's still only got the one thing, the punch power. it's all in good, isn't it? It's all good. And I'm still maintaining it now. Mentally, he's voicing himself now after being on mute at the press conference a couple of months ago. He's now starting to come out and say things. But, you know, when them two, you know, size each other up the night before, what's he going to be like then? What Wilder are we going to see? Because we have had the big onus on Fury, haven't we, over the last couple of months building this one up. So I'm just trying to work out some different ways with Wilder.
Wilder can only do it one way. Wilder's never going to outbox Tyson Fury. Wilder can only knock you out. I don't know, you know, because he's changed trainers, hasn't he, since they last fought. I don't know what they've, you know, what they've drilled into him, but I think he's a natural knockout artist. And I think it's always going to revert back to your brain, isn't it, to beat that knockout artist. He's never going to be a technical fighter. He's never going to have that fight IQ like Tyson Fury, but he has that dangerous punch. And that's, you know, that's the thing that's going to be on the mind of Fury. No matter what Fury says, I still think Fury's going to do what he does best. And think Fury, you know, I think it'll be a bit more difficult this time around than in the last fight, but I think Fury will still win this fight quite comfortably, because Fury's just, like I say, his IQ and his technical boxing is out this world. Him and Usyk are just leading that line of technical boxers.
And we will see, you know, Saturday, Sunday for us here in the UK early hours. But yeah, Chris, I reckon it's time to roll to Fury's latest comments. And this is courtesy of Behind the Gloves, who do some great content as well.
Yeah, they do. I'll roll it now, mate. So.
Just let him know that he's not safe anywhere, because we've got people in high places. And all of his team are on the payroll by me anyway.
Do you feel the same way that he feels, in the sense that you, like, he really wants to hurt you? Do you feel the exact same way? Like, is this as much of a grudge match for you?
Not really.
No?
It's just another fight with another idiot. Well, he's the biggest dosser of all, the biggest fool of all, so he can have a good hiding on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. You know, a grudge match. What have I got to grudge the guy about? I beat him twice. Mm-hmm. This is the third fight. Third payday off of somebody I've already beaten twice. What's to grudge?
When he was silent at the press conference, what did you make of his silence? What did you make of the whole sort of charade?
I didn't make anything of it, because no matter what Deontay Wilder says or does, it's not going to make my performance any different at all. Whether he says anything, it's just sticks and stones, like rain coming down onto a duck that's already waterproof and it just runs off it. So, you know, it's not really an issue for me. Whatever he says, it's none of my concern.
Bob Arum, gotta love Bob. Bob said that, I quote, I can't see, he's talking about Muhammad Ali, competing with a 6'9" guy like Fury. What do you make of him making the comments?
Went on a bit too long, that's my fault. Fine. I think there's obviously people comparing him to Muhammad Ali. I'm sure he would have poo-pooed that, being put on that pedestal, even Fury. But yeah, prior to that, the clip could have been longer. Obviously, we like to keep the clip short. He's saying, he was asked actually, are you going to go 20 pounds heavier for the fight? And he left that kind of open-ended. He does say that he can get up to 300 pounds, not a problem, and he can still move around the ring. If he does put the weight on Chris, I think he might be able to stop him quicker than in the second fight. That'd be my, you know, that's the obvious thing to think. If he does go up from like 270, 280, what are your thoughts on that? If he does put the weight on, could be a problem. Could that be a problem in your mind?
Yeah, but it possibly could. But I think you're looking at someone that's probably gone and put that weight on and probably tried it out as an outfit in a boxing ring and gone 12 rounds, you know, with people just to see how he would feel. If he feels comfortable, I trust wholeheartedly that Tyson Fury could go to 300 and still beat Deontay Wilder. There is obviously factors where you can say, well, maybe it could cause an issue because, you know, you're putting a lot of that stuff, that sort of muscle fat on, that, you know, in the later rounds you could tire. And he does put a lot of output on, this Tyson Fury. You know, his strikes and his jabs and his hooks, his body shots, you know, obviously your foot movement, your head movement, you know, weight, holding that sort of weight can sort of slow you down eventually. But if, like I say, if he's tried it out and gone and tried, you know, 12 rounds, 300 pounds on him, then if he feels comfortable, yeah. But then at the same time, he's the master of mind games. So he could be saying this just to sort of, you know, play Wilder up in his head, and then he's thinking about, oh God, hold on, I may be this big physique guy, and I'm you know, ripped and shredded, but this guy's 300 pounds, and last time he was heavy to me, he beat me. So I can see what he's doing at the same time. Like I say, there's pros and cons of being heavy. You know, look at Joshua against Usyk. He had to cut the weight to be better, you know, to be faster and try and be at the same level. Tyson Fury, again, is a better boxer. So depends on, like I say, if he's playing mind games or he's actually going to do it. But it doesn't matter what Tyson Fury weighs. He still beats Deontay Wilder on the weekend. Unless, obviously, Deontay Wilder can, you know, send a rocket up his arse and knock him out properly.
Which would then take us to a four fight, which, you know, we haven't seen many four fights, have we? You know, imagine they got a book, a four fight, because Fury was plotting his course just a couple of weeks ago, what he planned on doing next off the back of it. Say Wilder does get the KO, it begs the question then that it will be into a fourth match, and then it's going to throw the schedule off for everyone else.
Well, yeah,
surely now they're going to be looking at Usyk. But they're going to have to be, aren't they?
Yeah, well obviously, yeah. Because that's the fight to make now. Everyone wants to see Usyk and Tyson Fury fight. I think that's the sort of fight I get excited for. That's something I'd actually stay up for. You know, I'm an MMA guy, you're the boxing guy, but I'd happily stay up and watch Tyson Fury versus Alexander Usyk. But before we crack on and move on with everything else, let's go to some comments, Stu.
Pete Layton, he was with us last week commenting. Hi, how's it going, Pete? How are you? Me and Chris love the comments. Thank you, mate, for joining us again. Fury seems very confident ahead of this fight. John Fury said Tyson would give Dillian an opportunity after. Now AJ is out of the picture. So, yeah, you know, he's WBC mandatory, so maybe he wouldn't have the unification bout. He deserves it. We've said this for months.
Yeah, I totally agree.
How many years is he mandatory? He lost the mandatory.
When
he lost to Povetkin, he's got it back. He's done everything. That lad deserves a shot. It's another huge UK bout. You know, we'd want to see him fight in the UK as well. I know Fury's been branding out in America in more recent times, but they've got to get these fights made in the UK, Chris.
Well, it makes more sense, you know. And obviously, I think if push comes to shove, they probably want the Joshua and Fury in the UK. But you know, we were going for a pandemic and money is better elsewhere, isn't it, at the time? But yeah, Dillian White, and if Tyson Fury can beat Wilder on the weekend, makes sense. It makes sense to me.
I wouldn't even do Wilder versus Dillian White. I think he goes straight in, you know?
Yeah, if he's mandatory, isn't he? So
He's got to. Sorry, Chris, move on. Hello, Brett. You've been with us from the get-go, from episode one. Mike Tyson is aiming to secure his latest bout after making his return to boxing, and he has fixed his sights on fighting Logan Paul. I say no chance. He's getting split of 100 mil. Needs to be 80-20 split.
Shoot. That one's for you.
You can answer.
Because you're more
in tune with the Pauls than I am. So he's saying an 80-20 when you're coming up against the man, the legend.
80-20 to Logan Paul now, is this, Brett? I'm not sure about that. I know Logan Paul's a big, you know, he's a big draw, and but Mike Tyson's a legend. I know, I mean, I don't think he even got an 80-20, a 50-50 split with Floyd Mayweather, did he, when they fought? No, I mean, do you want Logan Paul with Mike Tyson? Because Mike Tyson looks to me, he can still throw a shot. I'm not sure if that's the right way to go for Logan Paul, if I'm honest.
Steve Mumpin. Been with us like the last month, I think, watching this.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks again. We appreciate you all, Steve. Fantastic. How, gents? Basically, Tyson wins this trilogy and will still be unbeaten. How far off is he in being the greatest heavyweights of all time? I know Ali is a legend. Lennox is also a great hand.
Yeah, he's got a followed-on question here. Yeah, as well,
I thought
to go with
so. I give a little break there. Lewis versus Tyson would have been something in both prime, but I don't see AJ having anything near what he would need to beat Fury. I make a case that Wilder has more chance, even with just one shot.
Yeah, I think Wilder hits harder than Joshua, if I'm personally honest, mate.
He's got it. And also, Joshua will get hit as well. That's the problem.
Hmm.
He's not elusive. And Rachel Cornell,
Welcome back,
Rachel. Hello, everyone. Yeah, thank you, Rachel. Welcome back. Corey Williams, you have to do a YouTube video every time a certain time hits.
Okay.
You can elaborate on that if you want, Corey. Me and Chris
That would be quite helpful.
Explain. It's fine, though, mate. Just explain what you meant. That's cool.
Big Rob.
Hello, Ramel. Ramel, you and Chris need to do a watch-along as well.
We will.
The big UFC cards next month, definitely. Good evening, my guys. Hello, mate. From the Philippines, up late there, as always. Dan, Terra Sports Inc. as well. We've had you on quite a bit on me recently. Afternoon, everyone. Hello, Dan.
Pleasure. He's got a followed up question for you.
Tyson going to win within 6 rounds. And my mate Sam Knight, he said the same. He's on the same trajectory as you with the
It's very round. Possible. It's very possible.
And if he's not messing about with the weight and he's putting the weight on, I can see it being over before then, maybe the 4th. Jack Martin, who I work with. Young lad, the local to us in North Wales. Hello, Jack. All good, mate. All good. Ramel, I think it's going to be the same. I don't see anything wild that would do to beat Tyson. And Ramel knows his boxing as he knows his MMA. So, yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I'm with you. You're well-versed. Your knowledge, your analysis of the fight's fantastic. Hello, Lewis, all the way from Falkirk. What's your prediction, Lewis, for the fight?
Yeah, good to know.
Have you got a round? Do you think it'll be KO? Will it go all 12? It won't go all 12, but you never know. Dan Terra Sports Inc., great show. No,
thanks, Dan. Thanks, mate. Cheers, mate.
This is why me and Chris do it. We do it for you guys as much as ourselves. Kangaroo Jack, the funny thing is, it only takes Wilder one punch, so he's got a chance. It's always there. It's always there, and he's bulked out, so maybe they have worked on more power. Tyson Fury now is clearly number one heavyweight in the world. Alexander versus Fury would be great. Chess match, both slip boxes. Yeah,
100% agree. 100%
total, where it's they can both, you know, they both do the same. You know, they're very slick, good head movement. They can land. They got power, bit of everything. Brett Thomas, Tyson is relevant anymore? Isn't relevant anymore? I think he was saying there. Yeah. So
yeah. Yeah, I don't. Hold on, one more. Kangaroo Jack's back here.
Kangaroo Jack, is there a joining link, fellas? Is there any, like subscribing to it?
If you're watching on Powered 4, you can go on their channel and subscribe. But if you go on the page you're watching us at the moment, I sent loads of links down on the Snopes bit, so you can join our page on Facebook. It's all on there, mate. It's all on the link.
We're on Twitch. If you're a Twitch user as well, we are there. Chris will be uploading stuff onto there as well. So if you like Twitch, that's your channel. Fury KO in the first round.
That's a big call.
Get some money on that, Lewis, because if that comes in, there'll be good odds on that. I think you'll get a decent odds on it. Ramel, Tyson might not be relevant anymore. Just don't get hit by that tank. Yeah, it doesn't matter. He's in his 50s.
But they always say, in a matter of what combat sport, it's the power that's last to go. And absolutely. You know what I mean? When he was fighting Ray Jones Jr., it was an exhibition and he went knocking people out. His punches were still coming in. And
Roy was brilliant as well, considering their age. It was brilliant. It was so good.
You don't lose it. You just get older, don't you?
Out of the fights that we've seen in that, you know, ex-boxers getting in there, that was all right. I was fine with that.
As long as it's not Evander Holyfield. No, we've caught up, mate.
Right. Into Chris's wheelhouse, because I know he's going to have a lot to say about this. And we had Bellator in London. Two nights, Chris, as well, because the boxing was at the SSE at Wembley the following night as well. So London had a lot of action, didn't it? But back to Bellator, Michael Venom Page avenges his loss from 2.5 years ago. Slender split decision victory, Chris. Douglas Lima, on the other hand, has now had 3 defeats. I've read and I've seen some bits online, Chris. Some people had
in a row, yeah. He's on a 3-fight losing skid and it's frozen again.
I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here. Let's be honest, mate. I know. Don't you worry, pal.
I'm not dropping out.
Is it me that's dropping out, is it?
Yeah, I think it's you. But
you're dropping out of mine.
It might be your connection. I think. Anyway, back to it, Chris.
Whatever.
Also, Douglas Lima, a lot of people had it. I know it was split, so obviously one of the judges had him. A lot of people said it was 29-28 Lima, but Was it the two punches, the two knockdowns in that first round that have seen him through?
There was three knockdowns. He had three knockdowns. Right, okay. No, on the first round, anyway. Listen, watch the fight back. If any of you think that Lima won the fight, it's very close, right? So, in hindsight, you could go either way with it. But I thought, you know, MVP did what he had to do. Yeah, he lost the third round. Douglas Lima controlled that on the ground. But he didn't do too much. You see the difference with MVP, he doesn't have much of an escape route when he's on the ground. And I think he does need to work on his sort of takedown defense and be getting from the bottom to the top. But he's got big hands. And if you watch the fight, and the first fight, he holds on to Douglas Lima's hands. You know what I mean? He's got massive hands as MVP. So he controls the sort of in the guard. But you know, obviously, he did get hit with elbows and punches when Douglas Lima stacked him up when he was on top of him. But we'll go back to the first round. Listen, the first round was quite even. The first knockdown by MVP to Lima was like 30 seconds into the fight. But I think what people don't realise, if you watch it and slow it down, the punch comes into Lima's chest. So he's going backwards because of MVP's sort of movement. Because MVP's got in there like a bullet, hasn't he? But the punch actually lands on Lima's chest. So Lima's chest is obviously pushed back by that then. The second round is the most telling. There was, you know, the leg kicks, the high kick that caught Douglas Lima around the side of the head. He obviously, again, he dropped him again, but he switched it up. So when he rushed in for his 1-2, he went in with the elbow across the side of the head. He wasn't connecting Douglas Lima in the face when he's rushing in for the 1-2s. He was coming in around the side. But the leg kicks were telling as well. And Douglas Lima's got some really nasty leg kicks. But MVP, when he hit his leg kicks on Douglas Lima, you could tell that Douglas Lima was really struggling with those inside leg kicks, you know, throughout the whole fight. But, you know, the first and the second round are the most telling.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first round, you've got to look at, okay, Lima had him, I think, had him down from the two-minute mark and continued the fight on the ground. But MVP had a knockdown, even though I wouldn't say it was a knockdown per se, but, you know, the judges will see it as a knockdown. The second round, MVP controlled, you know, the whole fight. He knocked down again. Douglas Lima with the same 1-2, rushed in, 1-2, bang, dropped Lima. Did it again in the third round, but obviously Lima was more wise, took him down, controlled the whole fight then. Easily Lima's fight. I think it would be 2-1 MVP, personally, myself. I just think Lima's had a lot of losses. I think his confidence is shot because that wasn't really the same sort of Lima I've seen before in the past for Bellator. MVP, you know, you could see that he wanted it more. Like I say, he was fast. His kicks have always been good as MVP's kicks because he's so unorthodox. It's like that karate stance where he's coming on the side. He's coming in on the side. Yeah.
I had that in my notes. It's good to see, makes him free, and get the kicks away. I love when someone comes in a unorthodox way, as you know, as you've just said.
Like Stephen Thompson's pretty much similar, but I don't think he's as fast as MVP.
No,
better,
no.
Better kickboxer than MVP, but MVP can show a lot of range, a different, you know, set of skills. You know, he came in with a straight-handed jab and he completely rocked Lima. Didn't knock him on the ground, but he wobbled his head a bit. It's a close decision, and I can see why people would argue Lima, and I can see why people would argue MVP. But watching it back, and I watched it back today, and I sat there and I slowed it down, paused it, and you know, just to see, you know, what the arguments for and against were. MVP won the first round, just sure because of that knockdown. He controlled the second round, and obviously Lima then controlled the third round, and that's the unanimous decision, 28-29 to MVP. He moves on now to, and arguably, I say a title shot. I can't remember what the name
is.
Amosov.
Yeah.
And he's a ground specialist. So if MVP struggles on the floor with Lima, he's going to have to really sort that out before he fights him.
It's what I've been reading. It's a bad fight, but he's got to go for it, Chris. He's, you know, beaten Lima now. You never know. If he can. He's got to try and stop him and not get taken down.
If he wants to be in the UFC, and he has stated before he'd like to dip his toe in the UFC, I think welterweight division, if he jumped it now, would be extremely difficult for MVP. Because obviously we have so many good wrestlers in that division. But if he wants to make that big boom, and I think Bellator would cry for MVP to be their champion because he's such a marketable character. Do you know what I mean? So I think Bellator would be like, you know, please win the title. They could make so much money off MVP.
It poses the question, doesn't it, going forward? Definitely. We've got more comments, have we, Chris?
Well, mate, we're flowing in.
Here we go. That's what we like.
Hold on. I'll go to where we are. Here we go.
Floyd must have lost it then.
He always loses his money, you know, Brett. That's why he keeps coming back for fights.
Afternoon, gents. Samuel, mate. He's a wrestling fan, a good friend from the Pro Wrestling League fandom crew. And nice he's also stated a sixth round stoppage for Fury on Saturday, Sunday. Yeah.
A few of that.
Sam's of the opinion it'll go six and it's Fury's in the sixth. Nice one, Sam. Ramel, I recall one interview to Timothy Bradley. I think Fury, it was to do with Fury and Wilder. Timothy Bradley has in the recent days. Good afternoon, lads. Powered 4 TV, John, Scott and Rich Crow here. So thank you very much, lads.
And I've ever dropped out. What are you doing?
Yeah, that's you. Just keep going. It's
fine. Let's...
No one is dropping out on the live feed. StreamYard fixes it, but the hosts see dropouts. Yeah. So we just carry on, Chris, regardless.
I am. It's all good, mate.
Ramel, I've seen an interview for Timothy Bradley that, yeah, it's to do with Fury and Wilder. He would trade all those techniques just have that kind of power. Wilder, I agree. Even on the 12 rounds, if it goes there, he's still a threat.
I totally agree. But punches chances in that hindsight.
Fury knows full well. He said he's the most fearsome puncher. No one knows it.
And I agree. He is.
Watch that match. It was close to call. It would go either way. Great fight, by the way, but it's still a right call, Chris. So obviously saying about MVP and Lima.
No, it was close, but like I say, you've got arguments for MVP and you've got arguments for Lima. It's one of them. Again, we're referring back to what Dana White always says, never leave leave it in the hands of the judges, because you don't know what they're going to come up with. So it is one of them.
Rambo. Hello, Rambo. How are you? How's it going? I haven't seen you for a while, mate. Hope you're well. Hi, John. Hi, Stu and Chris. Been loving all the wrestling coming back in events on Power 4. Catch and TNT. Been amazing. Yeah, Catch is up and running now as well. Another upstart in the UK. Yeah, so good to see TNT. He's had loads of events as Jay and the team. Samuel Knight. Yeah, me and Sam spoke about this earlier today. But yeah, I'll read this out now. What do you guys think for this weekend? Do you think the extra weight on Fury would be a positive or a negative for him when it comes to mobility and getting around the quick knockout? I think 20 pounds is nothing due to the fact that he's 6'9". I think he can put it on. Like you said, Chris, he's got the right people behind him, nutrition people, sports science and all that.
If
he couldn't put it on, they'd be saying, do not put it on if it decreased his movement, his speed.
100%. I think it's a case, again, like I said to you when we spoke about this a bit earlier on, he would have tried it all out. If he was thinking about going to £300, I'm surely he would have got to £300, you know, many months ago, done 12 rounds, see how he felt. I mean, he's not stupid, is he? Or, like I say, it could be a mind game. You know how he likes his mind game and he's a masterful at it.
Honest beyond reasonable. Hello. Hi, John. Saw you and Jeff Simon and Alex McCarthy at O2 a few weeks back. Yeah, WWE were in town for London. So, yeah, John and Jess were down there for Sports Keeda. So, they did coverage down there because Power 4 TV have obviously got WWE Media. So, yeah, that was nice that you met with them. Brett Thomas. Mike Tyson was big in the 90s and the 2000s, but you will have to split it correctly. Logan will show heart and desire again to win the fight. 90s, definitely, but then he obviously had his prison sentence, and the 2000s, he was past his best. He was fighting people like Julius Francis, for God's sake. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Still knock someone out, though.
If he'd have fought Lewis earlier than 2002, you know, let's just say, look at it hypothetically, I think he might have had a better chance.
Yeah, okay.
I think, personally, in my opinion, he just had too much stuff going on. And, the prison sentence didn't help him, did it? But fantastic fighter, one of the best ever. Hands down. 100%. Love Tyson.
And I'll say this. I say this, Brett. If Logan and Mike Tyson were to fight, and Mike Tyson hits Logan flush, good night. Get him a pillow. But I love you, Brett.
As well. Yeah, we both love you, mate. But, yeah, I'd like to see Logan or Jake get knocked the fuck out. Santos in a 5-round decision victory over Johnny Walker. Chris, I can't believe how tall Johnny Walker is. I've never noticed he was 6'6".
He's a big dude, isn't he?
He's big for light heavyweight, Chris. But yeah, straight into your thoughts of this one, because I know you've got quite a bit to say on this.
I broke it down in four sections. It was a very tentative first round. I think they're feeling each other out. Other than that, it was quite a boring fight. You know, Santos hit some really good leg kicks in the second round, the third round, the fourth round, the fifth round. Didn't do much for Johnny Walker. Johnny Walker was quite annoying me because he was sort of showboating around, not really getting anything off. Santos did hit him clean twice in the fifth round with overhanded right, which was really nice. Johnny Walker ate it. It was really uneventful. I mean, for two guys, I would have thought, and I said to this year last week, I thought it would be a third round KO for Santos. Just didn't seem to that they really wanted to let go. That they were both sort of frightened of each other. If, you know, if I let go and I go for this punch, he's going to hit me with this. It seemed very tentative. Santos has called out Yuri Prochevka. I worry for him in that, because
that's not good. What little we've seen of him, where he looks picks his angles and all that. Yeah, and he's totally different to everyone else. That's a bad match. Thiago's not in the right, is he, headspace to where he was, you know.
After the John Jones fight, no, because he destroyed his leg, didn't he?
That's a nasty fight. I won't be calling him out at the moment.
I think for myself, Yuri Petrenko is next in line after Blachowicz and Teixeira. He's next in line, and I worry for whoever wins that fight has to fight him, because he's dominating at the moment.
Another European coming through as well, which is great. Yeah.
Rough as hell. Right, well, do you want me to go and put the VT on?
Fire at Thiago, courtesy of Fansided MMA. Let's not get copyright struck this week.
I think, actually, Stu, what I've just realised... Oh, no, hold on. I'm all right, I think.
Perhaps not the crazy fight we were expecting, but how do you feel after five rounds with Johnny Walker?
I feel good, you know. It's not always we can finish fight, you know. I tried, but he's a tough guy. You know, he's big, but he moves, he's fast. Tried to do my best, but, you know, anyway, I won that fight. You know, no question about that.
Was his movement a little bit surprising to you, or did you know he was going to move and just had to take a little bit of time to figure out where he was going next?
Yeah, you know, like I told you, I'm surprised how fast is he, you know. He's big. I fought against John. John is big too, but he's a little bit slower than him. He's big, but he's fast, explosive, you know. It's making me so sharp, you know. I did everything what I trained for. And, yeah, everything good.
I think in the fifth round you hit him with a left hand very, very hard. Were you surprised he was able to stay in there? Because it's very rare we see someone like you hit someone and they stay conscious.
Yeah. And like I told you, not always, you know. But he felt, you know. I saw in his eyes he was scared about my hand, you know. Yeah.
I also think he was quite scared of Johnny Walker's hand personally as well, though. He did obviously come a bit harder in the fifth round and tried to finish it, but it wasn't like, you know, hell for leather. You know, as they did say, he caught him with a hell of a good overhanded right that caught Johnny Walker, but Johnny Walker ate it, you know, and carried on fighting. But, you know, what Johnny Walker is, he needs to stop showboating. You know, he's going like this and like that, and it's like, you want to get somewhere in this division. You need to put your foot down, bite that mouthpiece, and go.
He's not at the disco, is he? Rolling his hands around. What was he doing? What was that? Just rein it in. You're in the elite promotion in the world of MMA and combat sports. Like,
really frustrating.
Why does he not just channel it into what he's doing?
I'm not sure, and he's been out for 12 months as well because he had an injury. I think he had a leg injury himself. So he's been training, knowing he's had this fight coming up, but it was really boring. You know, for two guys I thought would have been and gone for it and tried to go for the knockout, it wasn't very good. We got some more comments from Brett.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant. When you see Danny Williams beat him and steal Orton legend killer gimmick, you know Tyson can't beat Logan. Yeah, that's what I was saying. The latter portion of his career was just like he was in it too long. But you try and tell Mike Tyson to retire.
Danny Williams is a boxer, though, Brett. Logan Paul is not really a boxer, is he? But yeah. But, you know, your opinion, of course.
Absolutely. Keep them coming. It's what keeps us rolling, the opinions. Ramel Hart and win the fight, yes, until he get hit in the face. Woodley almost KO'd him. Imagine Tyson hit him.
Wrong pull, brother. That Rom, you're talking about Jake Paul. Logan Paul.
Got a bit of collective action going on. Almost gave up on watching Santos Walker fight. Mad respect to those two, but that was a boring match. Yeah, I looked at the SIG strikes from them, and it was low. The significant strikes on both sides were very low. That was alarmingly low for two guys that like to, you know, strike.
Bang.
It was low. That's drastically low. And what, you know, you want more output. Make it more exciting. But as you said,
I'm missing the crowd. I'm missing the crowd as well, though, because when you watch that fight back, it just didn't feel the same.
Why are they still? Here's one for you. Why are they still running at the apex when they can get? They can do the arenas if they're doing that. They don't need to now, surely. No,
fight nights were in front of a crowd before coronavirus came in. So I don't know. Maybe it's just easy and suitable at the moment for them to be keeping the apex. But it is what it is. But I kept on hearing a woman scream when I was watching that fight, and it was doing my fucking head in.
I was going to say something, but I better not. I'll let Chris will know what I'm alluding to there. The light heavyweight champion might have been around. Anyway, former lightweight champion. Brett Thomas, Jake Paul would definitely smash him.
Are we talking about Mike Tyson?
He wants Jake as well. Put them both in there with him. Put Logan and Jake both in there. And just let him go off. Yeah, just let him go. Wind them up.
You're going to turn it into a tickle fight, and they're all going to start hitting him with pillows and... No, just no. I don't want to see that.
What happened to Eubank Jr. Rambo? Yeah, I can tell you what happened there. COVID. No, not COVID, actually. The other guy who came in, who replaced the LB, can't remember his name now. He wasn't physically right for the fight. So the guy they brought in wasn't ready. So obviously had a replacement. I can't think of the guy's name now. But anyway, Eubank Jr. will be back next month. I've read over the last 24 hours that the fight will be happening. Don't know which opponent it'll be, but yeah, the boxing board of control were just like, the guy can't fight Eubank Jr. So he obviously looked at it. I don't know if it was weight cutting.
Safety first, isn't it? It's got to be safety first.
And, you know, Eubank Jr. could, you know, hurt a lot of people. So maybe it was a good thing that it didn't happen if he wasn't right physically and mentally. Samuel Knight. So if Fury beats Wilder this weekend, how do you think he gets on against Usyk? He made a fool of Tony Bellew and Anthony Joshua. I personally think he's the only heavyweight out there who could take Tyson Fury. It's a good shout, Sam. Off the back of what we've seen, I still think I've got Fury. I just think
I understand you made. I don't think he made a fool of Tony Bellew. I think Tony Bellew was doing really well in the rounds until obviously he got mentally tired, didn't he? And he got caught by Usyk and he got knocked out. Anthony Joshua, I would agree, he made him make a look a fool. But Anthony Joshua, I think Anthony Joshua didn't prepare well for Usyk at all. Regards to Fury and Usyk, I think it's a compelling fight because, like I said, it's IQ versus IQ, isn't it? In the boxing and the technical side of things, I just don't know where, you know, you've got to look at Usyk and you've got to look at Fury. Fury, as you say, can put 300 pounds, doesn't have to be ripped, but can use his weight to his advantage, you know, really bully the smaller guy. It could be an interesting fight.
It's got to happen because this is what it's bringing all this opinion out now, isn't it? So it will, hopefully, in the next 12, 18 months, that fight gets made. Rambo, that screaming was almost as annoying as Snoop Dogg. Give me my mother effing money. I won't use the expletive there. I think I've used an expletive earlier on. So I just...
How many times do you swear now? Do you just swear, Rain, Joe?
I'm just worried after copyright infringement. I'm worried the powers that be and YouTube will give us another slap on the wrist.
Don't know what you're worrying about the copyright infringement. Like, we fought the law and we won. It was only the YouTube beaters.
You should have led in with Joe Strummer in the Clash. That should be.
I should have.
I fought the law and the law won.
Yeah,
but yeah,
copyright this.
Have we got anything? Have we got anything else, mate? Jake Paul smashed Mike Tyson. No probs. He's in his prime, right, Brett? You love the Pauls, as we say, week in, week out. You know. You are a staunch Paul fan. That's fine. Also, what happened to that Ruiz Mexican geezer? I haven't seen him since AJ fight. He's coming. He's in the best physical shape.
Yeah, he's sure cut a lot of weight.
He'll be about. There's a lot of fights here in heavyweight division. We forget about Ruiz Jr. No, he's a good fight for anybody. You can swear. Right, okay. Yeah. I swore earlier. I was just being careful, John or Rich, whoever's
you fucking, I think it's fucking idiots, John. Aren't you?
There we go. Yeah, well, yeah, that's it now. Expletives are plenty. Ramel, I believe Fury beats Usyk. One mistake Joshua made in the fight, he didn't out-muscle the smaller guy and tried to outbox the master boxer. Yeah, he should have been like leaning on him a bit more, using the weight.
Yeah,
I agree. All right, you're a bit, you know, you are, he's probably thinking then, right, he's going to hit me a bit more. He's going to get, you know, get inside if I'm leaning on him. But yeah, maybe he should have then. He didn't throw enough punches.
I don't think he did.
He didn't throw enough. His output just wasn't there. I was expecting more. I think he based it on those first two fights that Usyk had, but Usyk saved his best for this one. So
maybe they've
concentrated on them two fights rather than they should have been looking at his cruiserabouts as well as. Wait, right, Chris.
Unfortunately, now, I've got my bearer bad. I've bearer bad news here, mate.
What's happened?
I put the wrong video up.
It's all right. It's all right. We can go off. I can remember bits from what you said. You can obviously analyse the fight, which you do fantastically. Anyway, we'll start off your analysis of this. It was a clash of heads that led to the DQ draw. Daukus had put the choke in on him. We've then got the commotion outside. The refs are talking. I like that. I like that they were all mic'd up and they're trying to work out, you know, maybe they should do that with the judges.
Can you imagine that?
Christ. You know, sometimes you just see a piece of paper and a result. But anyway, Chris, what did you think with this? A DQ draw in the end for Kevin Holland. The clash of heads was nasty. He took the brunt of that. So, yeah, your thoughts on Kevin Holland? You know, he's ranked 14th. Daukus, I didn't know too much about him. But, yeah, your thoughts on the fight. We'll get to you.
Well, it's hard to sort of analyse the fight because it didn't really last long. Let's be completely honest. You know, I thought, you know, Kevin Holland looked better with his takedown defense up against the cage. Okay, Dirkus isn't really a fantastic grappler like he's fought the Vettori and Derek Brunson. You know, they're notorious for their grappling side. But he looked a lot better. So maybe going to train in with Daniel Cormier and Khabib up in AKA in San Fran, it seems to have worked with him. It's hard to sort of, like I say again, to sort of break down the fight because I didn't see much because they clashed heads. No. It looked like... when they clashed head, Kevin Holland was out before when he hit the ground and then obviously sprung back up. And then obviously Dirkus was trying to get him in all sorts of rays of submissions. He got his back and it was a really well executed rear naked choke from the back, put his weight on Kevin Holland, forced him downwards and then choked him. You could see in Kevin Holland's face that he wasn't enjoying that one.
Daukus still had to fight, didn't he? You couldn't have just left him grounded thinking, right, this is going to a draw. You know, no. In Daukus' defense,
he wouldn't have known at the time.
You've got to try. He had to do it, didn't he, Chris? He had to carry on, you know, regardless, because if they hadn't done that. But I think Dan Mugliotta and listening to her being outside, it was well dealt with, wasn't it? You know, they were getting each other's opinion.
Yeah, but
They
called for the radio, yeah. Herb Dean. As soon as they clashed heads, if you watch, he put his finger out.
Yeah.
So he's already called for the replay, you know.
Yeah.
So they're thinking going to the second round, or like say if a finish happens in that fight, they've got the replay there. But hey, don't forget now, Kevin Holland's been a hero the last couple of days. He stopped
the
guy from robbing a car.
I saw, mate, and I was trying to get some bits and bobs today online on it. Brilliant. Do you know what? The character, it's as you've said, and you listen to DC. He could hear DC, Cage Side, and he could hear everything.
My supersonic
hearing, I can hear it all. I can even hear DC. I can hear my corner. Can hear the fans that like what little fans were there.
He was making me laugh. Yeah.
You want him to do well, and he's had there's been a few bumps in the road. Do you think there'll be a rematch with Daukus?
Will they get back in?
And
I think
hopefully,
so.
Mate. I like the guy. You know, you brought him to my attention more so. You know, touting him. He's got all the tools, Chris, as you've said.
It's the takedown defense. Yeah. He needs to work on that. Before we move on, I'll give you one good line. It was funny. When Dirkus had him up against the cage and Dirkus was underneath his armpit and he was just sort of trying to raise Holland. And Daniel Cormier says in the commentary booth, and he goes, Dirkus is really long, isn't he? And then Kevin Holland turns around and he's like, you know, he's trying to defend a takedown and he turns around and he's like, yeah, he is really long. And that's just, you know what I mean? That's the sort of character he is. You know what I mean? There's no bullshit there. But yeah, we'll go into the promo for
Power. There, I thought I was getting something else, which I'm going to get now.
You are going to get that now.
Yeah. You should be worried about copyright infringement, the cap and got astute. Yeah, Jurgen Klopp saying that. He's had them lasered now, Sam. Thank God. This has always been my shtick, the cap and glasses. But these aren't Oakleys like he used to wear. But yeah, at least he's had the laser surgery now, Klopp. Doesn't need the glasses.
Well, he can get back to shoveling that soil before, can't he, Klopp?
So are we ready to talk about David Avanesyan's European title defence? A fantastic performance, Chris, against, again, UK fighter in Liam Taylor. But just a step too far, I felt. A fantastic performance from Avanesyan. To be fair to Taylor, he did have a go. He landed. He's knocked out 11 of his 23 victories, but British level, absolutely. When you're coming into European world level, there's just a difference. And Avanesyan was fantastic. He's so spiteful, powerful, and he's called out Pacquiao's conqueror, the guy who's now retired, Pacquiao, you know, the news you had last week, Ugas. But yeah, Chris, what did you feel with Avanesyan's performance?
You know what, I loved both fights, the both fighters, because again, it's another one of these fights you've thrown at me to look at, you know, for the show. And again, they're both fighting on the inside. And I just find when boxers do that, it's such beautiful work, because there's so much technical sort of strikes going in when, you know, you're both fighting from the inside. The body shots were from Avanesyan were just unbelievable. But it was suffocating, wasn't he, Taylor, with the pressure. And you could see Taylor was trying to create space. He was trying to hit him with the 1-2s, try and circle him. But the pressure of Avanesyan was just, you know, constant.
It was a fantastic performance. It was good. Also, it was the second night of combat sports, you know, Wembley Arena. What a job that is, you know, having Bellator on the Friday, which I thought was a Saturday when I put our post out, and I was like, hold on a minute. But that was good. Just going back to that, you know, having two nights of MMA and boxing. That's fantastic.
I was watching that in the pub, actually, mate.
Were you?
I was down the road. I was watching it off the phone. That was quite good, though, to be honest with you. More of that.
Avanesyan as well, which I didn't know. A bit of background here. I didn't know. We'd obviously seen him against Josh Kelly earlier in the year. Yeah, he was fantastic. Six-round knockout, big, huge win. He's training over here. He's from the south of Russia. He's got Armenian in him as well, but he's got a UK promotional team and his trainers, you know, from here as well. So it's quite, I think that's quite interesting. I think I'll get a lot of UK people, you know, looking for him to do well now, won't it, Chris?
He looked fantastic in this fight, and you know, he needs to step up and give him a bigger opponent. But, you know, from what I saw, the two fights that I've watched since we started this show with Avanesyan, he looked prime and ready for the next step.
He's world level, not a question. So powerful and, yeah, fantastic. Chris, and then we're going to now move on and we're going to preview a huge night of boxing, the Battle of Liverpool, as its former super welterweight champion, Liam Smith of the famous Smith boxing family, you know, all four lads have boxed, taking on another Liverpudlian and former Olympian Anthony Fowler. And Chris, I'm looking forward to this one. The M&S Bank Arena in Liverpool, where there will be 10,000. And nothing says it more than a domestic battle and having two people from the same city fighting. And Smith said quite a lot of stuff about Fowler. He's just saying he can't hang with him. You know, it's going to be a long night for Fowler if he starts to try and trade with him. And Liam Smith is off the back of a loss as well himself. Fowler has been on a tear, you know, domestically, European level. But I'm veering towards Liam Smith. You know, he's fought Canelo. All right, he got stopped by Canelo. But he's had the bigger fights. He's got a lot of experience. He's been a world champion, Chris. You know, he's used to big nights. I can't see past him. Anthony Fowler's good, but I don't think he's like world level good that Liam Smith, you know, he's been down those tracks before.
Well, with regards to being a champion, obviously, you have that experience of a fight that was not being a title challenger or even held a belt, so you've got all that experience. You know more than I do. I've seen Anthony Fowler a few months ago when we covered him, and he looked really good. So I haven't seen this other guy. It's a shame that they're both Liverpudlians. let's just hope they both knock each other out, in all fairness.
What was Wayne Rooney saying, Chris?
He said obviously he's going to be there, and it's good that Liverpool have got, you know, two battles of two scousers, and he thinks that Smith's going to win.
It's just
that was it, really.
He lost to Mirgunov, I think his name was. He lost that. He wasn't expected to lose it. But the other guy was undefeated. And he went to Russia to fight him, did Liam Smith. But I just feel he's had more fights and he's had elite fights throughout his career. And yeah, super welter, 154 pounds. This might lead to a world title, world title tilt, this fight for the winner. Yeah,
possibly.
Fowler might do something, you never know. It's boxing, but I think with the bookies, they'll have Liam heavy favourite because of his his career and his record. Brett Thomas, you will see me on all the BFW episodes too. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you will, yeah, mate.
He's right. We always have you on, man. It's a pleasure.
Always, like Tyler T.
Isaac. All right, Isaac. He's watching with his daughter today. My mate from Norwich. Yeah, can't wait to catch up with you, mate. Absolutely. We need to, hopefully, later in the year. Yeah, he's good pal. Don't forget, everyone, use code FBDOWN, all in caps, and get 1 month free on powerful.tv. So, yeah, John and Rich reiterating there. I highly recommend it. I highly recommend it. There's so many wrestling shows now here in the UK since, post-COVID. Well, we're still in COVID, but, yeah, there's a lot more content coming. The WWE media side as well. And ourselves, as Chris said, Big Fight Weekly, it's all up there for your viewing and listening pleasure. Chris, yeah, are we leading in to UFC Fight Night? Dean versus Rodriguez, Chris. So, yeah, take the lead on this one.
From what reading, looking at the odds today, actually, mate, they've got Dern, Les Dern, sorry.
Yeah,
they've got her as favourite over Rodriguez in the odds. Bit surprised by that personally, mate. Rodriguez beat Watson in the last fight, and Watson, as we all know, the karate hottie, really good. She's fought some of the best, but she sounded her out. We know that Mackenzie Dern beat Amanda Nunes's wife. She had a long layoff anyway, because obviously they had a kid, didn't they? So it's one of them. But Mackenzie Dern is a ferocious jiu-jitsu practitioner. The only problem is, I was looking at percentages of takedown percentages and takedown defense percentages, and Dern has a 10% takedown. That's when she gets someone down, she's only have a 10% ratio of taking someone down. Rodriguez has got a 62% takedown defense. It's quite tight here. So if Dern can't take her down, Rodriguez has got knockout power for days. She's 14-1. Like I say, she's been in there with some of the best. Dern's obviously learning her trade because she was out for quite a while, but she's quite new into MMA itself. Like I say, she's a massive jiu-jitsu practitioner. She's very good on the ground, and absolutely amazing on the ground. But Rodriguez can, she can bang, and she's beaten some of the best. Tisha Torres, she's beaten Tisha Torres.
She's been around for many years.
She's fought Claudio Cadea. She's fought.
It's a roll call. She's fought some really good fighters. That is a roll call, So you're saying her experience and the caliber of opponents she's faced.
You don't know how things can go. Dern could take Rodriguez down and submit it. You don't know. But, when you're looking at her percentage of taking someone down is only 10%. And so Rodriguez is, stopping that at 62. It just sort of thinking, where's the balance here? Because if Dern's not going to want to go strike for strike for Rodriguez, obviously Rodriguez would want that over being taken down and having a grappling fest. So I got to sway towards Rodriguez here. And if you're betting, I think, Rodriguez is a really good bet over Dern.
Who else we got on the card, Chris? Is anything on the card there?
Tim Elliott's fighting. I think he's facing a newcomer. But other than that, though, the card's quite quiet this week, obviously, because we're building up to 267 and 268, which I don't know if you guys know, if you follow UFC, they're back-to-back, and not ever do we ever have a numbered UFC events back-to-back. So there's so much going on in a UFC. There is a lot of fight nights, this month leading to Jan Błachowicz versus Glover Teixeira in Abu Dhabi. But then we've got the big one, Kamaru Usman versus Kobe Covington.
I was watching the preview that they put up, that small 2.5-minute clip. I think it's 5-6 days ago. Watched it yesterday, Chris. They showed Covington Covington when he got those shots through. But obviously,
That's what I was telling you about. This is what I was telling you about.
you know, let's just remember Covington, as much as I don't like the guy personally in there, he had some success, didn't he? It was a brutal stoppage, like, but
you get your jaw broken, don't you? But listen, Usman's come on so much since they last fought, and the knockouts he's had, you know, Masvidal, Gilbert Burns, you're talking about two guys who, you know, are very good at, well, more Masvidal than Gilbert Burns when it comes to striking, but, you know, he's managed to knock them both out, and he did it devastatingly. I just, you know, I mean, you don't like Kobe, so I know you're like, knock him out, please, Usman.
I appreciate him as a fighter. I know he's got the credentials. I tell you what I did like, actually, as much as I don't like his loud barf antics. Usman was doing the workout thing, maybe in one of the casinos there, and he had the megaphone. And he had the megaphone and he's hurling abuse at him. That was the first time I hadn't seen that when they had, previous.
Going to cut you quickly short.
Cut me.
Super sick from Brett, £1.79. Oh, thank you very much, Brett. We do appreciate that, mate.
John and Rich will appreciate that as well, as do we. Thank you very much for that, Brett. We appreciate the super sticker, bro. Have you heard they are doing director's cut of Rocky IV film, he means? Yeah, I had seen. They're going to add more of that bloody robot scenes in it with that really odd relationship with Paulie. What was going on? I don't know, but they obviously feel they can make some money. I'd seen a post actually about that, to be fair to Brett. My guys, Stu and Chris, no, we appreciate it, mate. You've been brilliant.
Cheers, mate. We do appreciate it.
Week in, week out, you know, goes without saying. Stewie John Palmer, share the Powered 4 TV sub info on PWEF, Pro Wrestling League Fandom. Fantastic group, by the way. Absolutely brilliant. I'm sure there'll be people interested, especially some of those from the UK who don't watch anything other than the top US promotions. Yeah, we'll keep that in mind. I'll run it past Adam, who runs the page as well. Absolutely. Heels rules. Evander Fury has gone from stride to stride, hasn't he? As a rookie, I remember he used to hang about with Paddy, the well-known traveller. So there we go.
Listen, everything's sort of set up, isn't it, for this fight? Obviously, on closing now, we'll close on Tyson Fury and Wilder, Stuart, because... we haven't actually given a prediction either of us in this fight, really. We've said Fury's going to win, but we haven't really, you know. I want like round or how?
Round
far
four.
Away.
I'm going round four. I think he's going to just. How'd you come back from that KO in the second fight? Like, how'd you come back from that? I don't care about all this physically and all that. I think mentally, he's got. He had him. I'd say in the first fight, he had him mentally, but obviously he managed to land on him. You know, he put him down. You know, he put him down twice, didn't he? I just feel he's going to be more emphatic. I think he's really going to want to finish this rivalry feud off. Brett again? Brett's
No. It's not. I just want to show it off because, you know, we're thankful for Brett. So I want to keep that up there for
banner.
Him.
Keep it as a headline, as a banner. Yeah, no, thank you. But yeah, fourth round, Chris. KO.
Fourth round.
He's going to do it more emphatically than he did in the second round, which was amazing. Yep. I wonder if Wilder will be wearing a headpiece this time, which weighs 40 pounds. That was one of the silly, pathetic, appalling excuses he had after the fight. Yeah. We have been powered4.tv Big Fight Reiki. This was episode 32. Episode 33 next Monday at 4 o'clock sharp. We'll be back for everything post Fury and Wilder, UFC Fight Night as well. And we'll be leading into some stuff like previewing some fights as well. Because as Chris has said, a chocker November card for UFC. Back to back with 267 and 268. We have been powerful.tv. I've been Stuart Palmer with my co-host and cousin Chris Hume. And we'll see you next Monday.
See you next Monday.
Sports Social Podcast Network.